Well, good morning to you. Thanks for joining in this morning. If you have your scripture, we're in Psalm chapter 131. I'm so glad that you have decided to join in. We're in the Psalms of Ascent, and today we are specifically looking at how to have a quiet heart. If your soul is restless, you feel the weight of responsibility and maybe the weight of a diagnosis or just struggling in life, today this psalm is for you. So if you have your scriptures, you can open to 131, Psalm 131. I'm going to read it for us. My heart is not proud, Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. But I have calmed and quiet myself. I'm a weaned child, like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child, I'm content. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. I think if we ask 100 people, do you want a quiet, restful soul? Do you want your heart to be at rest and at peace? I bet 100 people would say, absolutely, without a doubt. And as we read this psalm, we notice the author, as he pens this psalm, you notice that he's not consumed by the world's noise. It doesn't seem like he, at this point in time, at this moment, that he is stumbling through life, but he is at rest and at peace. And the truth is, if we aren't careful, as Christ followers, we can easily fall prey to the restlessness of the world, the hurry that comes with it, and then ultimately the chaos inside. And that leads to all types of escapist behaviors. You know, whether it is just numbing ourselves through different drugs or, Netflix or whatever it might be, just to escape from the hurry. But I want you to know this morning, if you have Christ in your heart, as a Christ follower, you can live with a quiet and peaceful soul. I think about this in my own life. I think about it in terms of how chaotic and crazy my life can get. As a dad, one of my job responsibilities I've taken on and duties that I really enjoy is making breakfast for the kids. And I found out that you can make cinnamon rolls in about 8 different ways. You can make cinnamon roll waffles. You can make cinnamon roll muffins. You can make cinnamon roll pancakes. You can do them the regular way. You can do them all different types of ways. But I've just really enjoyed making breakfast for my kids and getting them up and getting ready. I'm kind of a morning person, but there's a particular day last week that I woke up late. And if you've woke up late for anything, you realize that you've got to hurry up and get things going. And so I wake the kids up, I run downstairs, and I start the coffee. I get the cinnamon rolls out, I throw them in the oven, make the eggs, all those kind of things, because you got to have a protein, you know, to go with your sweets. And get their waters ready, get their vitamins ready, all the stuff on the table. And as Grady and Audrey are coming downstairs, they're seeing me like go completely crazy, trying to get everything juggled at once. And time is of the essence, you know. And so I throw the food on the table and they're like, Dad, you're going nuts right now. You need to calm down. And I'm like, hey, be quiet, eat your food. We got to roll. So I run upstairs and take my shower and get dressed. And I have like a minute to spare. And I'm probably not too much different than many of you, but I've got to have my coffee in the morning. And so I can't take a coffee mug, so I grab my Yeti mug and I fill it up with coffee. I get in the truck and I take off toward the day. I drop Grady off, and I don't know if you've ever had that, like, all right, I made it. That's an internal sigh. And I'm just driving down the road and I'm sipping on my coffee out of my Yeti. And it kind of dawned on me that, you know, our lives sometimes represent the difference between a coffee mug and a Yeti mug. Coffee is made to enjoy with friends and made to enjoy over a fire and reading a book and just this picture of slowing down and good conversation. But I look at a Yeti mug and it reminds me of just that fast, hurried pace. It's so many of us, We can't even slow down to have a cup of coffee, and internally we're just going so fast. Our souls are not at rest, and so we grab our Yeti mug and fill it with coffee, and we take off for the day. And I think when I read this psalm, when you read it, you realize that this is kind of a coffee mug life. Like, How do we have that moment, that coffee mug moment in our day where we are simply slowing down and listening and peaceful on the inside? Now, Psalm 131 is not a psalm describing a life without worries or disappointment or without grocery lists or responsibilities or broken promises or even loss. But this psalm is simply describing how to quiet your heart in the midst of a world that is in complete chaos all of the time. The author is David, and we know David was anointed and he walked with God, and it wasn't as if he didn't have outside noise and he dealt with internal struggles. You can read through Psalm 51 to see that. But it's an inside look on how he quieted his heart and humbled himself to the Lord. It's a prayer. And so here we are coming to the final leg of our journey in the Psalms of Ascent, asking the question, are you quiet on the inside? Is your heart distracted? Have you built up ladders of pride that need to be taken out by the Lord? This is what became one of my favorite Psalms, partly because it's only three verses. And I think a lot of times Psalms get so long, I'm like, man, I forgot what I was reading. But these are three verses that give us three simple steps on how to quiet our heart. At any point in our life, at any point in our day, this is how you pray and quiet it yourself. Look at verse 1. My heart is not proud, Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. The first thing, the first step to a quiet heart, especially if you feel hurried or rushed or under the weight of your responsibilities, is to yield. To yield your heart, to yield your eyes, and to yield your control. Now, yielding isn't really a fun thing to do. And when I think about yielding, the first thing I think about is like getting on the bypass or a highway, and you have to yield to another car. And I often find myself when I see the yield sign, I see another car coming, I'm thinking, can I beat this car out? You know, can I get in front of it for really no reason? I'm not going to get there any faster than they are. But yielding is a place of submission. Yielding is saying, you, Lord, go before me. It is an act of humility and an act of trust. And knowing that yielding doesn't come natural to us. But if we want our hearts to be pruned back, if we want to look more like Jesus, we must yield to him. Yield to his word, to his Holy Spirit, seeking him to speak to our hearts. So we yield. That is step one. And how do we yield? First, if we want a quiet soul, we yield our heart. Proverbs 29:23 speaks to this. Yielding your heart means that you have a place of humility. You're literally saying, like, I don't want my way. I want yours, Lord. And sometimes when we sit down to pray, we literally say that out loud. Lord, I do not want my way, because I know my way might be good. I might even be able to pick the right choice, quote unquote. But Lord, your ways are best. It takes a lot of humility. It takes a lot of trust to yield your heart and say, Lord, I need you. I cannot do this alone. And so the quiet soul is a yielded heart. And it says that you take pride in your relationship with the Lord and not pride in your own self. Proverbs 29:23, pride brings a person low, but the lowly in spirit gain honor. And that's the mark of a Christian life, is that we are lowly, that we are putting others in front of ourselves. And ultimately saying, like, I'm not going to invest at this moment. I'm not going to invest in the world's ways, but in God's. 1 John 2:16 through 17 in the Message speaks to this, and John, one of the beloved disciples, wrote this. It says this: don't love the world's ways, don't love the world's goods. Love of the world squeezes out love for the Father. Practically everything that goes on in the world, wanting our own way, wanting everything for yourself, wanting to appear important, has nothing to do with the Father. It just isolates you from him. The world and all its wanting is on the way out, but whoever does what God wants is set for eternity. So when we yield our heart, as he talks about in the very first part of verse 1, my heart is not proud. We are yielding and saying, Lord, I cannot do this without you. I need you, Lord. A quiet soul is not just yielding your heart, but also, David realizes, it's yielding your eyes. My eyes are not haughty. And what David is saying here is that my eyes are not judgmental. Pride isn't just about me, like taking pride in me, but pride is also about our comparison to others, how we compare to others. We get prideful in saying, I'm better than X, or I am more right than this person, or I know the best way. In fact, our whole world, especially in the West, in America, we are kind of put together for this judgment of others. It doesn't take long to see that. Look at American Idol or The Voice or America's Got Talent. We are just created to look at someone and say, oh, you can do this based on how you look or how you sound or any of these things that we are created. We are creating this society and world where it's all about judging others on the first take. And if we want a quiet soul, I mean, there's nothing that brings more noise to us than the burden of judging others. The great burden of that and the wasted energy it takes to judge them and to put a label on them. Paul said it best in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, don't be selfish, don't try to impress others, be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. If you are a Christ follower, Jesus said it here, the first shall be last and the last shall be first, that we are not a people of judgment, but a people of love. And so ultimately we're saying to our quiet soul is saying, Lord, I yield my heart. I want your way over mine. A quiet soul, yield your eyes, is saying, God, help me to see others through your lens. One of the things that I learned going through therapy and counseling a couple of years ago is that I have a judgmental spirit sometimes, that I'm quick to judge people. And it has been a process to get my mind out of that kind of function. And one of the things my therapist taught me and helped me with is to say, you know, if you would just stop for a second and put your feet in their shoes and try to see things through their lens. Maybe it's people that have wronged you. To maybe put your feet in their shoes and say, you know, why would have they done that? Or maybe people you look at that don't have much or that have plenty. And you judge for whatever reason that you would stop and put your feet in their shoes. It helps you to see them for who they are made for in God's image. Your eyes, what you see, what you look at, your heart's focus, your heart eyes is vital to who you live for. Matthew 6, 22 through 23, Jesus says this, it's a famous section of scripture. Your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. If your eye is healthy, your whole body is healthy. If your eyes are at rest, your whole body is at rest. So, to quiet our soul is a yielding of the heart and yielding of the eyes, but it's also yielding our control. Most of the noise that we have in our life comes from our attempt to try to control the uncontrollable. This comes honest for us in this information age. Our devices can control so much for us. But we must believe for a quiet soul and as a submission to him that God's ways are higher. A quiet heart isn't brought about by controlling our circumstances, but it's brought about by controlling our allegiances. Right? If we want a quiet heart, giving our control up is easy when we give it up to the maker of the heavens and earth and trusting that His way is best. So a quiet soul and a quiet soul comes from the yielding your eyes and your heart and your control. So that's the first step, is that you would yield. You would take a second just to yield your heart to God and tell Him, Lord, I cannot do this alone. The second step is to be still. Being still, again, in this world is just terribly difficult. We find all kinds of ways to fill our time and to fill the airwaves, you know, with music and different things, but simply being still and being in silence, not striving or trying to earn anything or to even produce something, that you're simply just you. When's the last time that you were just you? You were not a title. You were not dad or mom or uncle or boss or pastor or lawyer, whatever label that you have. When was the last time that you were just you? And you totally ceased striving. And David tells us here a great metaphor on how to do that, to be still. I've calmed and quieted myself is something that he actually did. So remember, this whole psalm, this whole thing of prayer is something you have to discipline yourself. To yield is a discipline. To be still is a discipline. But he says, I'm like a child that's been weaned with its mother. I'm weaned and I'm content. Now, you've probably been around a child that hasn't been weaned. I mean, this child is going to root around. Whoever picks it up, it is going to look for the resource that it needs to continue to live. I know this with my own kids. My firstborn, Grady, I picked him up, and he's just like rooting around, and I don't have the resources that he needs to continue to live. And he cried, and he would root, and he would try to find things. But when I gave him over to mom, and she would feed him, his heart would be at rest. Well, David is describing someone who is sitting in the lap of their mother, not needing anything from her, but only her presence. A quiet and calmed heart, one that is at rest and at peace, is still, not trying to get anything from the Father, but simply just resting in His presence. You don't need anything. You're simply just listening for His voice. I think, you know, part of the battle for us is that, is just literally just quieting ourselves, is to be still. It's often true of us in our Christian lives that we begin our Christian life at a point of desperation. You know, at a point of need. Lord, I am a sinner. I need You to come and by Your grace save me, and I receive all of those things. But as we grow in Christ, certainly there are seasons where we need these different things, but in our day-to-day, as we grow in Christ, it is not, we don't go to Him to get all of this stuff, kind of like a genie, Lord, will You give me these things? But literally we go to Him, we read His scripture, we sit in His presence just to be with Him and know that He has His best in mind for us. To be still and to know that God will provide. So we yield our hearts to the Lord. We submit to Him. We humble ourselves under His mighty hand. We are still in His presence, not trying to get anything or gain anything from Him, but knowing that we just are able to rest in the Maker of the heavens and earth, in His image. We are made in His image, and rest in that. We don't have to live in our titles. We don't have to earn anything. We don't have to strive, that we are totally still in His presence. And then finally, we hope in the Lord. Verse 3, Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. You're choosing to hope only in Him, and you're responding to Him in God's love. And if you look, you can look through the scriptures and find all scriptures about hoping in the Lord. There's tons of them. But since we're on this journey, if you just look a scripture above this, a chapter above Psalm 130, you're going to find out actually what you are hoping in. You're hoping in someone who God, the Father, who doesn't keep record of our sin, He forgives. His love is unfailing. He is full of redemption. He redeemed Israel from all of their sins. We look at this preceding Psalm 130 for our guidance on what we're actually putting our hope in. And you know, the truth is that when David wrote this, Jesus was not around. It was a foreshadowing, like the rest of the Old Testament and scriptures, of Jesus, the Christ who would come, the Messiah who would come and save us all from our sins and redeem the world. And for us now, as we read this scripture, we read it in light of Jesus, and we ask, did Jesus yield? Did he yield to the Father? Was he still in the Father's presence, not trying to get anything from him, but only just to be with him? And did he place his hope in the Lord? And I think over and over and over, it is unwavering. This is the steps that he took. And the truth is, Jesus was under the most pressure of any human ever to walk the face of the world. He held the weight of the sin of the earth and all of mankind on his shoulders. But yet, under this extreme pressure, he was still at peace because he yielded to the Father. He was still in his presence, and he placed his hope, as he told his disciples over and over and over, in God the Father. If you are a Christ follower or you are not, I want you to know this morning that you can have peace in the face of rejection. You can have peace in the face of responsibilities and discouragement and even loss. Your heart can be at total rest, even though the world is at chaos. But it takes us disciplining ourselves to yield and to quiet our soul. Quiet our soul through yielding our control and our eyes and our heart to God, yielding our entire being to him, knowing that he knows best for us and that we are still. We are just being still in his presence, not to receive, but just to be in his presence. And we are declaring the only hope that we have is Christ Jesus the Lord. So I ask you this morning, are there ladders of pride that you have built up that are keeping you from this, believing somewhere along the way that you can do it alone? Are you making judgments about people that have clouded and just brought so much noise to your heart that it's just not restful? What places of forgiveness and confession do you need to step into to offer that to the Lord? So God, I just pray right now for each person that they would find a life of quietness in their heart and peace and rest. That their life would look more like the coffee mug life than the Yeti life. That it would be more at rest and at peace than they have ever known it. Not because of trying to do all these things or strive for something, but simply just to rest in your presence like a weaned child. Lord, we love you. We are grateful. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.